What's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transformed, where me and my very good friend Ryan over there talk about all the adaptations from comic books into streaming shows and movies. Brian, you are rocking a Grimlock shirt, huh?
Yes, sir.
We both got our Transformers on today. And there's some awesome Transformers comics. Here's a little segue. You ready for this? There are Transformers comics that are made by Skybound, which is owned by Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman created Invincible. Today we're here to talk about Invincible Season 2, Episode 3.
Yes.
Brian, is this the horniest episode of Invincible?
Yeah, I would totally say so, yes. Tentacles.
So in our conversations, you've mentioned that you haven't really read a lot of Invincible, right? Like, where have you gotten up to in the story?
I think I read about an issue or two right after I finished Season 1. Which was what, 3 years ago now? And I think I trailed off of it because I'm like, I just watched this and this is almost the exact same thing. So I didn't do it. I think I intended to read it before season two came out and I just forgot because it's been 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah.
I do have the first compendium. So it's like the first like 50 issues or something like that, which I don't think we've approached crossing yet. So
it's very interesting though that you say that because the show kind of alludes to stuff that's like way further in the series, and there's stuff that kind of happens a little earlier, like with Nolan. Okay, so spoilers for Invincible, by the way, with Nolan showing at the end of this episode, I think that's within your compendium that you own.
Okay,
you know,
but it's, you're saying that happens later on.
Yes, than you'd expect. Yeah. Okay. Like what's really amazing about this show is that somehow they're hitting the overarching beats, like the main beats, but then they're also kind of throwing in these little side stories too with all these different characters. And I think in the comics, there's just more of the side stuff and more like Invincible just having little adventures.
Okay.
Yeah.
More like a traditional comic book in a sense. It's just kind of weekly one-off issues, and they're really kind of trying to wrap in like a multi-serialized multi-plot arc here overall.
Yeah. I mean, what's really great about Invincible is that it feels like an older comic. It feels like something from maybe the 60s or 70s and, you know, probably 80s too. I remember reading stuff like it when I was a kid, but of course they have that like ultra violence in it too.
Yeah.
That,
you know. I mean, it kind of almost is an older comic at this point. I mean, it started in the early, it was the mid 2000s, or was it later?
I think it's actually like the early 2000s. I mean, you could look it up real quick if you want, but I'm pretty sure I still lived in Staten Island. I think you and I were like going to the store together and it was out.
Oh, 2003. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And it ended in 2018. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so, I mean, that kind of disqualified my statement. I mean, it only ended about 5 years ago, so it doesn't make it older, but still it's like, what else started around then? Like new X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, things like that. So it is kind of a little on the older side now.
Well, I mean, 2003 is 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Almost 21 years ago. Yeah. So we could almost buy Invincible beer now, right? The comic. But what I love about the comic and this show too, is that they have ridiculous graphic violence, like straight out of a horror movie. But then when it comes to sexual stuff, they're like, oh, we better cut away from that.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of like a perfect, you know, analogy for America?
Yes, there you go, yes.
We have all kinds of violence and things all around us all the time.
Right.
You know, even the faintest, well, I guess it's slipped in a little more lately. You know, we do see more on TV and in movies than we had previously maybe, but violence is front and center and barely sheltered from anybody these days.
Yes. They made that exact same joke in the comic where they're like, oh, well, while they're having their private moment, let's cut over to this story. And I loved it then. And that was like 15 years ago. And now it's just equally funny here. And it's great because there's so many different voice actors that you recognize. You know, like Seth Rogen is Alan. And do you know who his girlfriend was this time around?
It was Tatiana Maslany again.
She's back again. Yeah. So Tatiana Maslany and Seth Rogen are getting it on in outer space. And then Zazie Beetz and Steven Yeun are getting it on Earth.
And you knew who I want to get it on with.
Oh, boy. Who?
Well, obviously, Optimus Prime is in this episode.
Oh, I wasn't expecting to go that lane, but that's awesome. I love that we're wearing Transformers shirts too.
Oh, of course we are. Of course I would say that.
40 something plus year old man. He's like, I want to get it on with Optimus Prime. Oh, it's beautiful, man. Peter Cullen. Okay, so one thing I'll say about Peter Cullen, and boy, we are jumping all over the place, but that character is in the comics. But what he does in this issue, or this, I'm sorry, this episode, I don't think happens in the comics.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. I guess we're going jumping to the end of the episode here, but
yeah,
it appears he removes the life support.
Yeah, on Alan. So, yeah.
Before I might as well elaborate that entire scene, which really threw me for a crazy loop, because there's this violent scene, and a few seconds before I hear Optimus Prime's voice, and then we cut to a life monitor just flipping there. Just, it brought me back to 1986.
Oh man, you had some PTSD there, right?
A little bit, a little bit.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because that character's in the comics, right? And hearing him with Peter Cullen's voice is just so fucking sweet. And he's not doing the straight up Optimus voice. There's a variation there.
Yeah, I agree.
The funniest thing is when you listen to Peter Cullen's voice and he's kind of doing something besides Optimus. Like, did you ever see that Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Yeah. He's the villain, right?
He's the villain. Yeah. And it's like he's doing a villainous voice, but you can still hear the Optimus in there. But it's like, oh, this is different, you know?
Yeah.
And he's doing this. The character he's playing on this show kind of has like a little bit more bravado to him than Optimus, or like a little bit more gruffness to him than Optimus.
Yeah. I mean, Peter Cullen is in his 80s now. So, I mean,
Oh, holy shit.
That's just going to come naturally, I would say as well.
Yeah. And isn't he getting like some kind of lifetime achievement award too?
Possibly. I mean, I know he's been honored a ridiculous amount of time for the Transformers stuff and in the fandom and community for various things, but I don't think I've heard about that yet.
Well, because he was trending on X or Twitter or whatever the fuck this week, and I clicked on it because I was like, Jesus Christ, don't let him be dead. But then it was because he was getting this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, we're jumping all over the place. I don't remember if in the comics he takes Alan off of life support, but watching it on the show makes it seem like there's definitely like a sinister, like he's the mole that they're referring to. In the comics, it's something different altogether. And I'm not sure if that happens in the comics, then there's an explanation for it, or if they're going a different route with the show.
Yeah, on one level, it seems odd because he's the one that tells him, like, there's a mole, you know?
Right.
I don't know. The only thing I could think of is he was trying to gain his trust to see if he knew something that he wasn't saying, and it was just telling just him, but it was a left turn for me because it definitely appeared like he took him off life support with a sinister intent. I mean, maybe you could argue that it was for like a mercy kind of thing, because Alan got really roughed up real bad.
yeah. I want to address what you just said. First off, I don't remember if Alan's girlfriend shows up as early as she does in the show. Like, I think in the comic she shows up a lot later, but I might be wrong. It's been a long time since I read those early issues, but there is one point where he just gets his fucking ass handed to him by Voltramites, and it's like really brutal like that. It's kind of cool talking to somebody who this is your first time seeing that. Like, what was that like for you?
It was very shocking because they're sitting having this weird ass lunch in an alien diner, and the bowls eating the other food, and it was just a great weird little segment. And then it's like, oh, and then you start saying like, oh, I'm not supposed to say this, but there's a, and then you just see this crash, and you know the Viltrumites are just, the three of them are just attacking him, just beating the shit out of him.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is that it's not cool, but like they knock him out of that restaurant, and they're talking to him at first, and I love the fact that there's no sound in space; it's just they're like telepathy. Yeah. They're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of like very emotionlessly, like just, and swiftly just kind of knock them back and forth to each other like a fucking ping pong ball.
Yeah. And ultimately what they're trying to do is they're trying to find out where Nolan is, where Omni-Man is.
Right. So it's like they're onto something. The Viltrumites are always so scary in the comics. And I think they really showed that in the show too.
Yeah. I think I keep thinking, like, I really like that they all just look human.
Yeah.
And they're that terrifying. You know, I think it's a nice change of pace, I guess. Because generally when you have these like superpower things, they're always kind of monstrous looking or very alien looking or something like that. I mean, I guess you could argue that, you know, they're sort of like Superman plus Saiyans in a way.
Yeah.
And they looked human as well. But I just like that. I like how they do that in this series.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely like Kryptonians gone bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like super fucking scary. I mean, even in DC, when the Kryptonians came back and like they were on Earth, that was really scary too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what they could do. So they cut to Alan and his girlfriend, this whole plot that you and I kind of keep just bouncing around, because essentially Mark and his girlfriend go to have sex in college. And it's like, well, we can't show them having sex, which is so funny because then they cut to them in outer space and they start having sex too.
Yeah.
And I think the announcer goes like, oh, tentacles, right? Did you kind of reference that already? Yeah, yeah. So funny. So funny. But then it's interesting too, because like with this episode, it's essentially like two stories in one. One is the Alan story, and then one is the Mark story. But then the Alan one, they even do the little opening logo thing like they do with Invincible.
That was cool. And that threw me for a little bit of a loop too, because it was a little bit later in the episode, and then it ended too. So, and then I'm like, wait a minute, is this the whole thing over? It was a little strange, but.
Because did they start showing credits after he pulled the life support?
They did. Yeah. They showed credits.
Yeah.
For the Alan portion of this episode.
That's so funny, man. This show is so like, you know, original and fun. So then with the Invincible stuff on Earth, he goes to college, and there's so many good fucking comedy beats. Like, I think one of the funniest fucking things was when he's with his roommate, who's a gay man, and the roommate's like, okay, when you put the sock on the door, that means don't come in. And like Mark literally goes out the door and then the sock's on the door, like immediately. I fucking love that.
I also love that later on they reveal that it's like, oh, I just forgot about it there.
I just left the sock there. Yeah. So funny. And then, you know, is like him adjusting to college life and oh, how did you feel when he dumped his action figures in the trash?
Oh man, that hurt, but I get it. Everybody kind of goes through that growing up phase.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you get older, you stop caring and you go back into your child phase, which is what I am.
Yeah.
But seriously, like when you go to college, you're almost an adult. You want to be treated like one and seen differently and all that. So it makes sense to do something like that to stop appearing like a child. But it's almost funny because he, on one hand, he is a superhero and he's doing all these crazy things, but he still is collecting these action figures. And it's almost like he hasn't grown it. Some part of me hasn't emotionally grown past his childhood.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's so very innocent, right? Because like when he goes to like have sex with his girlfriend, he almost seems like he's kind of scared too. Like, oh, we're going to do this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because you can look at it as if either he's unsure of how to do it or how to advance or if he's ready for it or whatever. But at the same time, and Amber even asks these questions. I'm like, are you sure this isn't going to kill me?
Right.
That's where my head would go first, I think. I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen here? But
yes. It
sounds like he clearly hasn't even done that very much, anything like that very much, and figured any of those aspects out.
Yeah. I took it as, like, he's a virgin and he's about to lose his virginity.
Definitely a virgin, but I'm going on a limb and saying he hasn't done, you know, even, like, masturbated or anything like that.
There you go.
College, but, so.
Yeah. Like, how do we say this on YouTube so it's on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun because I think she says the word sperm at one point too. And I'm like, wow, that's so funny to see that being said on a cartoon animated series, you know?
Yeah, but it's a thing you always kind of question in the back of your head with like Superman and Lois Lane, like, how does that work?
Right. Well, Kevin Smith has that whole bit that he does about the kryptonite condom.
That's right. You
know? Yeah. Wow, we talked a lot about sex this time around. Especially with Optimus Prime. So one serious part of the episode was when Mark's mom's name again?
I want to say Debbie.
Debbie. You're right. Debbie goes to that like grief counseling session, but it's essentially for the spouses of superheroes. And that's in the comic too. What did you think of that?
That I mean, I knew, I immediately saw where it was going the second they showed the, I kind of the meeting, the group meeting room.
Yeah.
You could tell that it's people that were lost. And you, the second that one guy stands up and they had to kind of make eye contact, that they could tell there's going to be a little connection there. Yep. And you knew it was going to come crashing down the second they found out, figured out that, you know, her, the person she's talking about is the one who killed all these people. Yeah. And is still technically alive.
Yeah.
Really. So it really puts a unique kind of view and or twist on her grief. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she was married to a monster, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are grieving in a similar way, but not exactly. So she really has no one to relate to, mm-hmm. at all. And that's like really, really, that was like the darkest, one of the darkest things I've seen in this show, period.
Yes. Yes. And I ate it all up too, man. That whole aspect of when you are with people that are grieving because their loved ones have been murdered, but then you are somehow connected to the person that murdered them. I've seen that before, and it's always super powerful and dark. There's a really great example of that, which is this movie, We Need to Talk About Kevin, which I bring that up because that stars Ezra Miller. They are Kevin in that movie, and that's about like a school shooting scenario. He uses a bow and arrow, but he kills a bunch of students, and then like, oh my God, what the fuck is her name from Doctor Strange? Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton, she's his mom. And so she has to deal with everyone's anger about him, you know? And it's very similar to this Omni-Man thing with the superheroes. It's like this idea of like, you didn't know that your loved one had the capacity to do something so horrible. And I think that that's like really interesting subject matter to show, but it's like super dark and upsetting.
Of course, yeah.
And fucking Sandra Oh just does a fantastic job, like, delivering that speech, too.
Absolutely killing it this season.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you recognize the voice, but that was David Diggs, who was, like, the guy that she was talking to.
Yeah. Every voice is someone I know from something else. Like, even that, like, the narrator was Paul F. Tompkins.
Right.
There was somebody else. There was some other voice that I recognized, too, that was, like a well-known voice actress, but not maybe, like, a acting celebrity. I can't remember what character it was. It'll come to you later.
There was one thing that, you know, it's funny, Brian, we do so many of these shows and I always think about things afterwards. I'm like, oh fuck, Brian and I should have talked about this. But like, the voice actor for Megatron in the Transformers games, he was like the Serpent King in the last episode, right?
Really?
I think so. I think I remember like someone had a picture of that Megatron from like all the like Fall of Cybertron games and stuff, and they had the
Fred Tatasciore, maybe.
I think so. And he was like, "Oh, I could tell right away hearing this voice that it's him," you know. And so, I love when they have like people that are like from Transformers, or like, you know, you'll always have like fucking Frank Welker on this kind of stuff, and he's just in everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's prolific. Yeah.
Yeah, or like, what's her face? That was like. She's Twilight Sparkle.
But she's crazy. Yeah, you're right. It is. Fred Tatis. I don't know how to pronounce this. It's Tatasciore. I want to say Tatasciore, but I could be completely butchering that.
Yeah. But so someone recognized that. And then, like, you know, Tara Strong, she's in a lot of these things too. But yeah, just the voice cast is just so fantastic on this show. I guess we should probably just bring up the big reveal at the end. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah. Another thing too. I believe this is somewhere I believe I remember or I saw somewhere. His like comic pose, the one comic figure he doesn't throw away, which was Seance Dog.
Yes.
That's another Kirkman character in the comic though. Is it Science Dog?
Okay, so I've wondered about that too. It is Science Dog in the comics, and it's a whole science thing. He's almost like kind of Tom Strong. You remember Tom Strong?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like that, but a dog, right? And I think the reason why they use Seance Dog is because they actually had like a cartoon or something of Science Dog.
Oh, okay. I was very curious because I thought he was involved in the creation of that at least. I figured maybe it was some kind of creator dispute or something. But
yeah, I think it's because they actually had like a Science Dog cartoon and like it was for little kids and so they didn't want it to be like crossing over with this, you know?
Got it. That, well, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because in the comics, in the Invincible comics, he's just a character too. And then I think he does show up as an alien like he does in this episode as well.
Okay.
But he's like Doctor Strange, and it was real funny when Mark just kept like beating him up, you know. Yeah. But then so Mark beats him up because
he realizes he's not actually that, and what he really is some kind of like shape-shifting alien, kind of looks like a praying mantis of some kind. And he comes to him with this problem that he's saying that his planet is being threatened, and they've heard tales of Invincible across the galaxy, which, I mean, should be suspect already, you know?
Right, right.
There's no way that him getting beat up by his dad is, information that's got around the entire galaxy in a positive manner, you know?
Right.
Or maybe they just heard about a Viltrumite that's not an asshole, maybe. I don't know. But Mark buys it. Hook, line, sinker, gets in the ship. He's going to go away for a couple months, weeks or months, whatever he says. Amber's not really happy about it. Cecil's definitely not happy about it.
Right.
And he gets there. He starts asking questions. And the guy kind of drops the ball and forgets. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that gag. And then we eventually find out that you bring him to the leader, the monarch, which is his dad.
Right. Roland's there. Omni-Man. Yeah. Yeah, so you weren't expecting that at all, right?
I was not. Okay. And I guess the intent there is for Omni-Man or Nolan to show Mark what the Viltrumites do for planets and like the positive effects of it. Maybe. That's what I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to even go into like what Nolan is doing there.
Okay.
But that was kind of a big deal in the comics when the dad showed up again, because it's just like in the show where the dad's like, oh my god, like we haven't seen him for 3 episodes now, and he comes at the very end of this one.
Yeah.
Obviously it's going to be a big deal. Omni-Man has become such a big character. I'd say he's kind of bigger than Invincible at this point in media in general, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Right, because especially I mean, like
his Mortal Kombat appearance.
Right. He's in Mortal Kombat. They use him in memes a lot. They don't really use Invincible in memes, but they use Omni-Man a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So, it's a big deal. I'm not going to spoil what happens next, but it's just great to have J.K. Simmons back on the show. How many episodes are in the season? I always ask this. I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's probably around 7 or 8, and I do know that there is a there's a break somewhere in the middle. So I think we're going to get one more.
Okay.
And then we're going to take a break. And oh yeah, there's 8 total. So we're going to get 4 now and then 4 next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's some important stuff that happens with like his dad and stuff on this planet coming up. So I think I know where they'll probably take the break. So there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up on Invincible. Do you have anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, I guess that's it.
Nice. Okay, so then Brian and I are going to wrap up this talk on Invincible. Make sure you guys are with us for next week when we talk about the season 4-3. Jesus Christ. The season 2 episode 4 episode. And now Brian and I are actually going to record our review of The Marvels. So I've been looking forward to this. Make sure you guys check that out too. And that you subscribe to Comic Books Transformed. And we'll see you guys next time.